He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
What I want us to do this morning is think about what I talked to the children about for just a moment. Have you ever been in a situation to where you knew that that situation was good, but yet at the same time the difficulty of that situation kind of made you turn to something that might not have been quite so good for you? Now, I thought of kind of a little, a corny example of this in my mind, but I always have this great ambition and dream to exercise, right? I know it's good for me, and I know that if I get up early in the morning and I, you know, lift a little bit of light weight, maybe go for a little jog or a bicycle ride, that all that's good for me. But yet when I get into the middle of it and I'm sitting there picking up these dumb weights and putting them back down, I think, what is the use of this? Or if I'm running and, you know, getting my heart rate up, I thought, man, you know, this is tough. This makes my body hurt. And so even though I know it's good for me, I would just as soon not do it. And so I think we find ourselves in these situations quite often, and this is really the situation that the Israelites are going to find themselves in our reading that we're going to look over today in part of 15 and 16, and then we're going to skip ahead to chapter 32, just a little bit of that. But let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning asking that you would be with us now as we turn to your word. Lord, we know that we're faced with a lot of difficult situations in life, and sometimes those situations, just the difficulty of them, cause us to maybe even question you, turn from you, and to turn from what's good for us, turn to something that that might even do more harm than it does good. But Lord, we ask that as we look at your word this morning, that you would open our hearts to receive it, that you would give us insight to your word this morning, and Lord, that you would block out a few of those distractions that we might have so that we can clearly focus on your word here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to catch us up a little bit, we've been going through the book of Exodus. We've made it a long way, really, up to chapter 15, and pretty much up until now, we've gone over every verse nearly in those chapters. Today it's going to change a little bit. But where we've been is the Israelite people, they were enslaved in Egypt, and God sent Moses to rescue them, and Moses would approach Pharaoh and to let the people go, and he would refuse to, and then God would bring these plagues on the Egyptian people. Now, Pharaoh would try to bargain with God, try to bargain with Moses, and once relief was felt, he would always insist on being harsh again. His heart was hardened, and he would not let the Israelite people go. Well, here we saw, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, we saw that 10th plague that finally turned things around for the Israelite people, the death of the firstborn. And once Pharaoh lost even his own son, his firstborn son, then he almost makes them leave. This morning this came up in Bible class. I mean, it's almost like he's saying, okay, here's the U-Hauls. I'm renting the U-Hauls for you. Here's even stuff to take with you. Get out of my presence. That's how serious Pharaoh was this time about letting the Israelite people go. He forces them to leave. Last week we saw on Easter Sunday this great salvation event where God led the Israelite people through the Red Sea on the dry ground out of Egypt into the wilderness, and then covering the Egyptian army up with the Red Sea. And so we saw God's mighty hand at work bringing that rescue to the Israelite people that he had promised. And so now, this is where we're going to pick up in chapter 15 in Exodus. The first part of the chapter we didn't touch on, mentioned it last Sunday, we're just going to mention it again. But this first part of chapter 15 is really a song of praise from Moses and the Israelite people, thanking God for his mighty acts of saving them, for finally in their minds answering their prayer to get them out of Egypt, out from under the oppression that they were under in Egypt. And so we're going to pick up with verse 22 in chapter 15 of Exodus if you want to follow along. But here's starting with 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So Marah means bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. So I want you to get this picture in your mind. The Israelites have been rescued out of Egypt. Now, granted, they're walking 3 days in the wilderness. I'm sure they got pretty thirsty. But they come to this water, and what's wrong? It's bitter. And I'm thinking, okay, gee whiz, so what? It's not bottled water from the store. Drink it. You're thirsty, right? But evidently, it was really, really bitter. And so they couldn't drink the water. And what does the Lord do? What does Yahweh do? He tells Moses, here's a stick. And I don't know. People were probably laughing, right? What's a stick? What's that going to do? And he throws it into the water, and the water becomes sweet to where they can drink it. I thought about this. If my kids come home, come to the house, and they say, I'm hungry, what do I tell them? I tell them, okay, there's some leftovers in the refrigerator, or you can go make you a peanut butter sandwich, and what do they say? I don't want that. Yeah. And so what do I say? Eat it anyway. Right? And so here we have the Israelite people who've come out of Egypt. God rescued them out of Egypt. They're traveling in the wilderness. They're thirsty, and they come to water, and it's bitter. And what does God do? He sure doesn't react like I do. He says, okay, here's a stick. I'll make it sweet for you. But, I mean, this is a theme that we see throughout the Bible and that we're going to continue to see, that God never gives the Israelite people what they deserve. And he never gives us what we deserve. I mean, he shows them grace. He shows them favor all of the time, even when they're grumbling and complaining really against him. And that's the same thing he's done for us. I mean, as we come off Easter Sunday, it's still fresh in our minds that Jesus went to the cross on Good Friday. He died. He was placed in that tomb, and he was raised to life on Easter Sunday. My friends, that is not what we deserve. For our sin, we deserve the punishment that Jesus bore. We deserve the death that Jesus died. Not him, but instead he gives us forgiveness in life because he took the punishment we deserve. And that's what we see here as the Israelites are leaving Egypt. I mean, he could have just struck them dead, right? Tired of these people grumbling and complaining all the time. But instead, okay, here you go. Here's some fresh, sweet water. Then the Lord, this is the second part of 25, verse 25. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on in on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs, and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. I mean, here we see the hand of the Lord working again. I mean, I guess in my mind, if I have a bunch of people complaining about water, I'm going to make them go thirsty again, right? And what does he do? He presents them here with these 12 springs of water and a grove of 70 palm trees. I mean, he just keeps showing them love and patience, being so patient with them, even in the midst of their grumbling and complaining. And then in chapter 16, the first few verses, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." And so here we have it again. They go just a little bit farther. And what do they start grumbling about now? First, it's water, because I'm sure 3 days journey without water in the desert, you would get pretty thirsty. So now their thirst has been quenched with water. And so now what's the problem? We don't have any food. So they start grumbling and complaining again. And what does the Lord do? He gives them food to eat. Bread in the morning, meat in the evening. I mean, here again, I think we would be much harsher on people who are grumbling and complaining with us, right? But here the Lord, he gives them bread and meat. And in fact, did you notice what the Israelites said here? That place that they hated and they were ready to leave, what are they wanting to do now? Go back. Because they were recalling the meat pots that they sat around. They had plenty of food there, even though it was difficult. And so as we think about that theme again, for the Israelite people, it was good to get out of Egypt. Right? It was really good for them, and that is what they wanted. But now that they're faced with the difficulties of being out of Egypt, they're being blinded by everything that God has done for them, and they want to go back to that horrible place that they were at. Because they're recalling all the good things that they experienced there, especially the food, the good food that they had. Not the good things as far as the labor goes, but the good food that they had, they're wanting that. And so they're blinded by all the harsh labor that they were faced with. They forgot about that real quick because they're hungry. And I think sometimes our stomachs speak pretty loud to us too, right? When we're hungry, we kind of forget about everything. And so they're grumbling, and the Lord simply provides them with food. Now what we're going to do, the next couple of chapters really lead up to Mount Sinai, which we're going to come back to next week. But I want us to jump over to chapter 32, and we're going to see how things continue to get difficult for them, because really from chapter 20 to 32 here is going to be all everything that takes place on Mount Sinai. And so in chapter 32, the first verse, it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord instructed him to, and he's been gone for a long time, and they're wondering where he is. And so in their mind, they need someone else to lead them. So they approach Aaron, and they tell him, make us a god that we can follow, that will lead us. So we know this story. I'm not going to read this whole chapter of the golden calf, but we know that the people bring articles of jewelry, and Aaron fashions this golden calf out of this jewelry that they bring. But I'm going to pick up with verse 19, because Moses is coming down from the mountain now with the tablets of what we call the Ten Commandments. Verse 19, when Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. Now that's a human response, right? That's what we would do. We would grind it up and pour it into water and make our kids drink it. You know, it reminds me of, you know, I don't know if it's done as much anymore, but when your kids say a dirty word, what do? You wash their mouth out with soap to clean it, right? And so that's the human response. I would like to know what God would have done if he would have been so harsh with them here. But Moses is pretty upset when he sees this going on. Now, this next part is really fascinating to me. He said to Aaron, what did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? Do not be angry, my Lord, Aaron answered. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. That's a kid response, right? How did this room get so dirty? I don't know. I've just been playing here, and I turned around, and everything's out on the floor, right? Aaron has no idea. Yeah, he does. But he tells Moses, I don't know. I just threw this jewelry in, and man, out popped this golden calf. And that's who the Israelite people are going to follow. Or that was their intention until Moses gets a hold of it, right? He grinds it up and makes them drink it. But what I want us to think about, again, turning back to where we sort of started, when the Israelite people were confronted with this difficult situation now, I mean, they got just exactly what they wanted. They're away from the oppression of the Egyptians, which was a good thing to get out from under that. But now that they're faced with these difficult times, with these challenges, what do? They start to grasp and turn from what is good and actually be blinded by this good and turn back to what is bad for them. And so I thought, you know, aren't we kind of like that a lot of times? I mean, whatever the difficulty is that we're faced with, we know what's good for us. But sometimes in the midst of the struggles and the challenges that we're faced with, we get blinded by the difficulty of that situation and really forget what's good for us. Really forget to focus on who walks us through those times. I mean, it's the Lord who does. It's the Lord who was with the Israelites while they were in Egypt when they cried out. It's It's the Lord that brought them out of Egypt. It's the one that rescued them and saved them. And the same is true for us. We know what's good for us is to know the Lord. And to know that the Lord is the one who rescues us. The one who came down into this world, lived and died on the cross to forgive us and was raised to life to promise us eternal life. That's what's good for us. But sometimes, in the midst of the difficult challenges that we're faced with, we get blinded. And we may even start to play the blame game or ask, why? Why, Lord, did you let this happen? Rather than remembering that He's the one that has brought us into this life. He's the one that walks through this life with us. He's the one that walks through the challenges with us because He knows what we experience. And we lose sight of that sometimes. And we need to always remember, as I told the children, that regardless of what we're faced with, we know that God loves us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us forgiveness in life. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, have this message not only to know for ourselves, but to take to a world who is hurting and dying and who needs to know that Jesus loves them as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this morning. Lord, we thank You that we're able to be here this morning and Lord, just to experience Your grace, the freedom You give us, the salvation that You won for us. And Lord, I pray that we know that inside of our hearts and inside of our minds, that we know that and we experience that and we can live that in our lives. And Lord, when we're faced with those challenges, that is the promise that we turn to. The promise that You give us that You will always be with us. Lord, and help us this week as we live our lives in the world. That help us to share this message with the people around us. Maybe someone who may have never experienced Your love, but someone who needs to know that You care for them as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.